Every day I feel like I've improved vocally or acting wise, I feel like I've improved. But what doesn't change is the fact that we can have things in our personal life that comes in our way and it changes our mental capacity or my emotional resilience to the show. So it's always allowing myself to realize, okay, maybe I'm not feeling it today, but I'm going to surrender to the moment and trust that I've got this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's so special. And I love that you mentioned that a lot of the time, the things that we're struggling with, when it comes down to anxiety and nervousness, it comes from this place, from it's a future thinking that we don't really have control over. We don't know what's about to happen. So our minds and our bodies can play tricks on us to try and protect us.
My first rodeo of Miss Saigon, I was really struggling with the mental side of things and believing in myself that I was capable of doing this. No matter how much I could sing the material, no matter how much I could run around the stage and deliver all my acting, it was still that imposter syndrome and saying to myself. And the first time I did it, it was so scary. But for me, just allowing myself to surrender to the moment and to just trust that, like, everything that you've worked so hard for is just right there.
Hello and welcome back to The Dive Podcast, where each week we interview professional performing artists as we discuss their stories and dive deeper into learning how to navigate the challenges we face as artists. I'm your host, Taylor Scanlon. I am a musical theatre performer and yoga teacher. And today we have Abigail Adriano joining us in the studio. Abigail is currently the leading lady of Miss Saigon the Musical, which is about to go overseas. And we had such a wonderful discussion. She is such a beautiful young lady, woman, I should say. And today we talk on topics of pre-show anxiety, pre-show nerves, and how to manage expectations from the outside world and even within ourselves. So if you're excited, just like I am, let's get into the episode.
Hey, well, welcome to the show, Abigail. It's so wonderful to have you on the show. How are you?
Hi, Taylor. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Yay! I know so many listeners are going to get so much benefit from listening to you today, so why not get straight into it? Let's talk about you and your training that kind of led you up to, or even before your training. What got you into being a performer?
That is such a huge question, because I think my whole life I've always loved singing, dancing, and acting. Like, my mum tells me, before I could walk, I started walking when I was 18 months, which is pretty late. And wow. I was already singing and I was already grooving in my chair. That's what my mum told me. So I've always loved it. I've been a part of a really big, very musical forward Filipino family. And I feel like because I've been surrounded by music my whole life, it was just like the only thing that I've wanted. But ironically, as life comes in the way, school, academics, going to uni, the pressures of what a job should look like, I found myself at uni doing a law degree instead of doing music, like my little self told myself I would be. Suddenly, I continued doing singing lessons to keep my up, and my singing teacher mentioned Miss Saigon is coming to Sydney, and I just think you'd be perfect. I know you're in a law degree right now, but I just don't know anyone else fitting for it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the dream musical that I've always wanted to be in. There's not many Asian women who are leads in a show.
Definitely. So
I was just like, I have to go for this. And I'm sorry, law degree, but like, uni's always going to be there. But Miss Saigon at 18 years old is a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I applied. I deferred for my uni and I started singing the songs. I started practicing them in my music room. I think I had 2 days to submit a self-tape, and I spent from morning to night practicing my self-tape. I uploaded it, and here we are today doing Miss Saigon, the real deal.
The real deal. And that is just an amazing story. In my experience of performing, every single year, it's constant change. You just really don't know what this amazing profession can take you, and how awesome that you were studying something completely different, and how wonderful that you had a friend and a person to reach out to you and say, Abigail, you need to get over here. This is where you're meant to be.
Yeah, honestly, the universe was like, this is perfect timing. And I feel like I needed to take that opportunity. And there are lots of things in life where I felt I missed performing. Because I did Matilda, the musical, at the Sydney Lyrics Theatre when I was 10 years old. I was one of the dancers. I was one of the ensemble members. And that was just everything to me, especially as a kid. Those kid shows are like your whole life. And
yeah.
So when I decided to focus my shift to academics, it was a real grieving period. I would never do this again. So I just knew I had to take that opportunity when he offered it to me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so you were saying you were a bit younger, and was performing always something that you wanted to do? Was it always in your blood, in the family?
It's quite interesting, actually. Like, my family loves singing and performing. I grew up singing at church every Sunday at an 8 o'clock mass. Like, girl, if someone asked me to sing at 8 a.m. again today, I don't think I could, but I started. And I guess that's the most performer in my family. I think I'm the first person in my family to really take musical theater as a career. So it was a huge step. But Miss Saigon, because it's such an iconic show in the Philippines,
yeah,
they were really proud of it. I was very grateful that they didn't see it as a lot of my friends' parents do, where it's kind of a taboo career and it's just like, is it sustainable? And I still kind of feel that in a way from the older generation. If I'm being honest, there's still that expectation that I will go back to uni and that I will get that law degree, which I'm not really pressed about because I really enjoy studying, but I'm really going to enjoy this ride as it comes.
Absolutely. And how special not only to get into the show, play one of the leads, but now actually getting the experience to go and celebrate in the Philippines with this show. How does that make you feel?
Oh gosh, I can't even put in words how that feels. I haven't been to Philippines since I was 7 years old. So initially, when I found out that I was going to be playing Kim in Manila, I kind of felt like this weird displacement because I know that I'm much more Aussie than I am Filipino. You know,
sure.
Yes. A lot of girls my age, this generation, can feel that. We can't speak the language, but the culture, we got the food. But once I get to my hometown, it's kind of like, do I fit in or am I truly Aussie or am I truly Filipino? So that's another thing that I feel. But I'm honestly just so excited because I think Manila hasn't seen this show in like 20 years. And I think as much as there's like pressure to reprise this role since Leyes Alonga, I'm just like so excited.
Oh, that's so exciting. And we've had a few Miss Saigon cast members on the show. We recently had Nigel on the show. And I think at the time of recording, I think your podcast episodes actually will be out before his. So we can say hey to Nigel. So he talks wonders about you in his episode as well. And seeing you both on stage, I mean, the chemistry is just incredible. And to be able to bring that amount of yourself to the stage each and every day is a lot. I can see that it's a lot, but you guys commit so wonderfully and you work so well together. And it's just a phenomenal show. And I'm just so proud that you are having this experience. And I know you're just going to love going overseas. And I couldn't think of anyone better to go over there and smash it out and really appreciate the role.
Oh, thank you. I think Nigel, if I have to say anything about Nigel, working with Nigel, it's he makes it so easy to kiss him.
Well, that's good because I know that he's not necessarily super fond of the ladies, let's just say. So it's very amazing.
Best way possible. Like I genuinely, from the moment that I met him in the audition room, he is just such a wonderful person and such a professional actor. Like he is incredible at what he does. And I mean that in the sense that intimacy for me, like stepping into a lead role for the first time ever in my dream role and understanding what it takes to like make that love look real. Nigel just makes the experience of partner work so free. And I think having those intimacy sessions that we had during rehearsals was incredible. But like him as a person also makes it such an open experience before show. I'm sure for a lot of people, but for us before show, we're always hyping each other up and we're just like, I love you. You got this. Let's make love today. Let's make it a great one. It's so fun because there will be days where before a show, I'm like, Nigel, I just need you to carry me on this one. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, I got you. And then vice versa. It will be like that.
Aw, that's so wonderful. I love that nowadays the intimacy coaching is very much more prevalent in the industry. I would love to talk about that. What was that experience like? You were just saying that coming in fresh into a show, your, you know, first big show, to then now having to kiss and be so vulnerable to this rehearsal panel. What was that intimacy coaching like? And what was like a day in the life of how that was kind of run?
Yeah, we had intimacy coaching for Miss Saigon from the get-go. If people know Miss Saigon, you know how intimate the show is, not just for Chris and Kim, but for every person, whether it be being intimate with another partner or being very vulnerable with your emotions on the stage on a day, sometimes like you don't want to give all that emotion. But it was a really liberating experience because we had Chloe Dallimore. She was incredible. We started off like playing games, like we are kids and primary school, but it felt like those games where you just introduce yourself to the other person. And then it was like three colors. Like this was the exercise that we had. It was like red, green, and yellow. And green is you're good to go. Yellow is I'm okay, but there are certain areas that I'm not okay with. And then red is we just need to find a completely different way to do this. So even though it felt almost like a game at first, it makes it so easy now before a show to just be like, this is my color. Let's work with it and go. But it was great because I feel like now the communication in the cast is great.
That's so awesome. And it's amazing that now there is so much focus on that. And oh my gosh, for a show like Miss Saigon, you really need, like you said, that time to feel safe because you're talking about many topics that aren't just intimacy, but yeah, vulnerable and really heart-wrenching, especially for someone like yourself. You're super mature, but you're still very young and coming into a lot of these topics to be able to feel that and even have a child on stage and make it seem like you are a mother. What was that experience like for you?
Oh my gosh. Actually, that's one of my favorite experiences in Miss Saigon, just being able to work with my onstage child because they're like, seriously, they make my job so fun and so cute. They're so cute. And I am the youngest daughter of three girls in my family. So I've never really been like the older sister, but I have a lot of baby cousins who I have helped raise. And one of them I actually put forward to audition in the Sydney TAM auditions. And so my baby cousin, who I practically raised since nappies, ended up being a TAM. So she helped me as well in the scenes where I don't want to spoil the story, but I have to do everything I can to protect my son. And so seeing my own blood, like my own family being put in those like vulnerable situations, I feel like that just activated this mother inside of me. And for all the other kids as well, we created a bond with each other that even though it's like nonverbal on stage, it's the eye contact. It's the making they're okay to hug you. It's making sure that they feel safe as humans on the stage in front of 2,000 people. And that's always a work in progress as we work with more kids, but it's always a joy. Like they always bring light into the cast. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the moment when you can see the kids on stage, your heart just sinks. You're like, oh my goodness. And we're talking about age here. What's the age range of the TAM? Because they're super young.
They are 4 to 6 years old.
And all of that's happening around them. That's just mental.
Yeah. And also something that I really love about Miss Saigon, it's that the director, and directors, the dance captain, everybody makes sure that it's like a really safe environment to be vulnerable. And I don't know what it was like back then. But all I can say is me stepping into this for the first time, I'm so grateful for that. And that like these are things now that we have in place to make sure that everyone feels like they can deliver that side of reality, of human reality into a show.
So special. Well, let's get into some of the topics today that are on the hearts and minds of performers out there, both that are in full-time studying and in the industry. A big topic that's been raised recently is about pre-show nerves and pre-show anxiety. What has your experience been with pre-show nerves, and how do you go about managing that and getting on stage?
Yeah. Oh, pre-show nerves, I'll tell you, they're real. They can feel so overwhelming. They can make or break a performance for me because this show is such high stakes and it's massive commercial production. And the role of Kim is such an iconic role as well. So before Sydney, my first rodeo of Miss Saigon, I was really struggling with the mental side of things and believing in myself that I was capable of doing this. No matter how much I could sing the material, no matter how much I could run around the stage and deliver all my acting, it was still that imposter syndrome and saying to myself, are you actually capable of this? Or can you do it like it's been done before? And that was probably the biggest hurdle that I faced in terms of pre-show nerves, because it's always when the lights are off, you're in costume and the show starts, the first chords of the show starts. And that's when it's like fight or flight. And the first time I did it, it was so scary. But for me, just allowing myself to surrender to the moment and to just trust that like everything that you've worked so hard for is just right there. And so many people have told me that. And I didn't learn that until I was actually in the moment. Like no matter how many times people told me, just trust yourself, you got this, I couldn't actually believe that until after my first show. I was like, I just did that. I think it's still a constant battle for me as we are heading into the whole big Asia tour, because every day I feel like I've improved vocally or acting wise, I feel like I've improved. But what doesn't change is the fact that we can have things in our personal life that comes in our way and it changes our mental capacity or my emotional resilience to the show. So it's always allowing myself to realize, okay, maybe I'm not feeling it today, but I'm going to surrender to the moment and trust that I've got this.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's so special. And I love that you mentioned that a lot of the time, the things that we're struggling with when it comes down to anxiety and nervousness, it comes from this place, from it's a future thinking that we don't really have control over. We don't know what's going to about to happen. So our minds and our bodies can play tricks on us to try and protect us. You know, this is about any scenario that kind of comes up in life that we're unknown. But then I guess for performers and yourself, it's even heightened again when you know that you're about to go on stage and deliver these tough and vulnerable pieces of material that actually require, when you're in those states mentally and physically, emotionally, are anxiety and are stressful. So it's really hard to kind of pinpoint how do we, and maybe you can express how you do, how can we go on stage, be fully immersed in the character and our emotions, but then once the show is done, how do you kind of like detach from that? Do you have like a post-show ritual, or do you spend days where you don't think about the show? Like, what do you do to kind of help make sure that you're still looking after yourself?
Yeah, in Sydney, whenever I was at home, my family loved to sing Miss Saigon outside of the theater. I would sing my grandfather's car, and it would be Miss Saigon original London cast recording from 1989. And I had to just politely ask them, I can't listen to this. I just cannot listen to this. And so everybody knows now that when I'm around, they're not going to sing Miss Saigon. I'll start singing a piece of the song and they'll be like, oh, sorry, Abby. And I'm like, that's okay. It's so fine. It's things like, yeah, like detaching myself from Kim as well on the job. I know people do different things. I know Nigel likes to say goodbye to his costume, tap in, say goodbye. I like putting on on my perfume. I wear like this perfume for Kim, and then I like to wear my own favorite perfume once I exit the building. And I think taking up as well is like a helpful thing, and then putting on my own makeup. So sometimes I'm a bit late because I like to put on makeup after the show, which is weird.
I'm loving it. It's so natural to talk to you. We're just like chatting away. It was crazy because when I started this podcast, I can't tell you. Sometimes just have to completely trust and surrender to the process of anything. Because when I started the podcast, my mum said, you should do a podcast, because I was creating this platform, and she said, you should do a podcast. And I was like, all right. Within the next week, found a place online. The next day, saw the place. The next day, signed a 12-month lease, knowing that I just auditioned for a few shows, not knowing if I would even be there like for those Mondays, because we lease out the Mondays on the studios. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to create what I want, and I'm going to show the universe that this is what I want, and everything else is just going to go around it. And then from there, I ended up getting Sunset Boulevard, that's in Melbourne, until August. And it's like all working out. So on top of that, I never interviewed anyone in my life. I'm like, what am I doing? But it was just so funny. I was sitting, actually Kim Hodgson was the first person to be interviewed. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, a week ago, this was an idea. And now I have like 20 ring lights and got two GoPros and phones everywhere, that we've got the mics and everything. And it was just like, oh my goodness, like what is going on?
I love that. Well, good on you. So good. I love that for you.
And now everyone's loving it, and everyone wants to be a part of it. So it's awesome.
It's really cool though. I think podcasts, listening to podcasts and listening to actors' experiences, it's just so underrated. I think everybody has such a different mental process, and I'm sure you have a whole process for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm still figuring it out, and I don't know what my process is. Like, it's funny that you asked me this, but I think all I can say is like, just trust in the moment, because every moment is different. Like some days I'll be having a terrible stomach ache, and what I have to trust is that my stomach is not going to do anything bad to me that show.
Yeah.
Some days they're really amazing as well. Some days I just feel over the moon. I feel like I can absolutely kill it. And then halfway through the show, I had like a tiny voice crack, and then it's like, oh, I just got to trust that everything after this voice crack is going to be good. It's always in the moment. Everything can change in the moment.
For sure. And a lot of what we speak about on the show is about, at the end of the day, we're only one human, and we're only capable of doing what one human can do, which is amazing. Like, we can do so many things, but it's allowing ourselves to let go of the notion that we have to be perfect, or that every show has to be amazing. And a main purpose that we created this podcast is to really show the lives of performers, to share with you, the audience that are listening now, that we are still people, we're still learning. No matter if you've been in the business 10 years or 1 month, like, we're still going through the motions. We have relationships and money and house and whether we want kids. It's all one and the same. So I love that you've shared that.
Thank you. And I think, I don't know about housing or having kids yet, but it is a mental journey for everyone. I think probably for me, it just feels weird about the way that I have to kind of connect myself, and how much I go out and how much I can see friends. So my friends are all my university, so they can do whatever they want. And sometimes I forget that, oh yeah, like, I miss my high school friends, or I miss like partying with them, and adjusting to like having a full-time job all of a sudden, and having a public profile is also something that I totally forgot would come as a side effect of getting this role. And every day I'm so grateful for this role. And all my friends, they say, oh my gosh, like, what I would give to be able to have such a job where you love it every single day. Yeah. Is equally, what have I given up to do this as well?
It definitely, a life of a performer is something you can't really explain unless you do it. That's for sure.
That's definitely for sure. But if I look back at my year, I was still studying in high school. How do they do this every single day? And then now that I'm the one on the stage, I'm like, I don't know how I do this every day, but I just trust that I can.
Well, absolutely. We've got a friend joining us in the studio at home today. It's my cat who's been screaming at the door. So if you're watching, you're watching the YouTube or socials, we'll add our cat into this little episode. This is Link. Yes.
Hi, Link. Oh, they're gorgeous.
So cute. All right. Goodbye, Link. Totally agree with you 100%. Going into another topic that I'd love to talk about, and that is kind of similar to what we were just speaking about. Now you being in the public eye and leading a show comes with these wonderful, I don't want to say accolades, but just it's an amazing life. And like you said, you're really enjoying it. You're really grateful. And you can just see that in your performance. You're fully committed and it's just wonderful to see. With performers out there, a lot of people that are performing now, kind of learning how to cope with this high expectation or putting expectations on themselves to perform a certain way or be a certain way. What have you done to learn how to, you know, cope with expectations of other people to kind of feel less stressed? Because it's really easy to go into our heads and think that we are putting these expectations on ourselves or for other people. How have you kind of coped with learning with that?
Yeah, I think this role in particular for me, because it's my dream role, I think most of the expectations came from my own expectations. Mm-hmm. Once I was able to get over the fact that everybody in the audience has a different opinion, everybody has their own interpretation of a show or their own opinion about how the show went down. Every ensemble member has a different opinion. Every director or producer has a different opinion. Once I got over that, it still lingered because I didn't allow myself to get rid of my own ridiculous expectations of myself. Mm. And I think I project opinions onto myself. Like I fabricate what people think of me, but they don't actually think of me that way. Once I realized that, it was all in here. But dealing with it, I think it was just, honestly, I don't even know if I can pinpoint one thing that helped me deal with it. But I think one thing for myself would be that I love that each individual has something unique about them that they themselves could only bring. And if leave that in myself, then I don't think I could be proud of what I do. But I am proud of what I do because what I give is something someone else can't give. And trusting in my uniqueness and believing in my uniqueness was one way that expectations wasn't even a thing anymore. Expectations is just something I measure myself by or comparing myself by to other people. But if I believe that I'm unique and I choose to tell this story in this way, then that's what I'll commit to fully. And that's what I'll choose to believe for the show or just in general.
That's beautiful. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much for sharing. Oh, well, it's been so awesome speaking with you today. And for any listeners out there, Abigail and I, this is actually our first time meeting live. I mean, I've seen her perform and be wonderful, but it's just been an absolute treat to have you on the show today, a different type of show. To finish off, I would love to ask a question that I ask each and everyone that comes on the show, and that is if you could give yourself any advice for before starting your career, which wasn't too long ago, what advice would you give yourself?
Ooh, I would say everything's going to be okay. It all works out. Even if today is a bad day, it will work out. You'll wake up and drink your hot tea.
Oh, I love that. We're going to get some hot tea in the studio. Maybe next time you're on, we'll get some hot tea and we'll chat over some tea.
Love that. Thank you, Taylor, for having me.
Of course. Absolute pleasure. And for anyone out there that has questions for Abigail, you can email us at info@thedive.com.au. And we'll get your answers over to Abigail and we'll help you in any way we can. Thank you so much for being on the show, Abigail.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Taylor.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening into today's podcast episode with Abigail. We absolutely loved chatting together. And if you have any questions for us, or myself, you can email us at info@thedive.com.au. As always, if you haven't checked out our website, we have a website that is made for performers. We have weekly resources, free resources on there, and lots of information to just help you get from where you are to where you want to be as a performer. So if you haven't checked it out, go to www.thedive.com.au. If you like today's episode, please share it with a friend and like, comment, and leave us a review. I'm sending so much love to your day. And until next time, keep shining on that stage, and I'll see you on the next one.